Jiu-jitsu. Jiu-jitsu is no joke. It takes years to master.
Martial arts are a vehicle for developing your human potential. And nothing in my life has ever put me in face with reality better than jiu-jitsu.
Training in BJJ offers a powerful lens through which to examine some primary human concerns: truth versus delusion, self-knowledge, ethics, and overcoming fear.
There's more philosophy in our mats than actually philosophy in any Ivy League school.
Welcome to Philosophy.
What up, everybody?
And welcome to another episode of
Philosophy.
How's it going, bro?
I am good, I'm good. How are you doing?
Yeah, not too bad, man. Not too bad. I notice you're still not in Zambia.
Womp, 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 womp. Yeah, man. It's kind of bad. Right before, I was just texting a friend on LinkedIn because she's in sort of like medicine doctor kind of thing, but she specialized in the labs. So she was saying like, we are safe. But I lost a lot of people that I know, parents or friends. Also, my dad called me. He said, because the thing is, like, for me to go to Zambia, I still don't have a visa to work there. Mm. So you got to get a working visa. And I was just going to go take care of a few documents. It's like, bro, try to see if you can find anybody. You can just take care of, like, the most documents that you don't have to be there to do. Mm. And then at the end, come take care of the last ones that maybe they need you, but things are bad.
Really?
Yeah, like you were saying, usually like in Mozambique, it's like a lot of like class, you know, sort of like the private hospital kind of thing. It's like, forget that shit, bro. Everything is like, all the hospitals are struggling. The doctors don't even have any more gloves left.
Ooh, okay.
So they're helping people however they can. There are people waiting outside, and yeah, a lot of people are dying, and
it's not good, man.
Yeah, it's really bad. So I think one of the big things is, you've seen the thing about the strain that comes from South Africa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
New Year's comes, there is a little bit of like, let people have like Christmas and stuff, and a lot of people that want to have Christmas and stuff are coming from SA because they're Mozambicans that live outside. And I think, this is like some bro science shit, but I think that must have influenced.
You mean
like the numbers going high?
Yeah.
Like, so
the kind of the relaxation between meeting people.
Yeah.
I don't think that's bro science. I think that's probably grounded in a lot of truth. It kind of happened here, right? Like our government like pivoted on the original plan, and then we saw like a rapid increase of cases. And deaths, and it can most likely be attributed to the relaxing of the rules.
Yeah, and I don't think anybody would thought like, oh, this virus is intelligent enough to, you know, become something else, like a little bit different.
To mutate.
Yeah, to mutate.
Have you got any like insight into the vaccine rollout in?
Nah. Like, because I was talking to my dad, he was like, yeah, why don't you take the vaccine? You know. It's like, because I'm young and I'm healthy.
Because you're not getting offered yet.
Yeah, I'm actually going to donate my antibodies because I had COVID. So
I don't think that's needed anymore, is it?
They texted me right away. I don't know anymore because like I didn't do it right away.
Yeah.
So yeah, but
they want your stuff.
Jeez, man, that sounds like something else.
Man, it's all up in the air at the moment. It's just confusing and tricky. Very tricky.
But I mean, like, how are you doing?
Yeah, going good. Yeah.
I find that you're still in London.
For the foreseeable future. Man, I tell you what I have been doing recently. I feel like my jiu-jitsu knowledge, or at least the history of my jiu-jitsu knowledge, is starting to, like, grow a bit, mm-hmm. which is really nice. So I've been working with Black Belt Magazine, with Ugly Billy on that. And we've been interviewing some people. And just through interviewing these people, doing a bit of research, doing a bit of reading, I'm starting to like uncover like a bit more of the history of our sport, which is kind of cool. Like I'm just scratching the surface and I'm just getting into it. But we interviewed a guy called Murillo, and then I'm going to butcher his last name. Bustamante, I think it is. Murillo Bustamante. Basically, bro, he was there right back at the start with Carson Gracie, and he fought in the Vale Tudo to basically prove jiu-jitsu was the superior art against like Lucha Libre and stuff. Mm-hmm. So for anyone that doesn't know, go and research it, go and Google it. But essentially, it was like a throwdown of martial mm-hmm. arts, like who is better, Lucha Libre. I want to make sure I'm saying
it's
that
a
right.
Luta Libre. Yeah. But
nice.
But also like my accent is a bit different than Brazilian, so yeah.
Right. It's basically that versus jiu-jitsu. And the way they did it was they had three fighters from each. They would each fight against each other. Each person had one fight. And then the overall winner, they would be, you know, claimed the best martial art. And jiu-jitsu, if I'm not mistaken, won all three. And Murillo fought in that fight along with
Fabio Gurgel,
yeah. And Valiant Ismail as well. So, bro, I'm talking to a guy that wasn't just there at the start, but defended the honor of our sport. So I asked him this question. I said, bro, I didn't call him bro. I said, and this guy has had a really successful career. He was the first Brazilian to win the belt in the UFC. He took on unbelievable opponents. You know, some of like this most extreme opponents like Chuck Liddell, people like that. He once fought a guy as well. I want to say Tony Erickson. Definitely last name was Erickson. I think his name was Tony Erickson, who had 100 pounds on him.
Jesus
He
Christ.
Fought two fights before, and then he fought this guy. It was supposed to be submission only, 30 minutes. The fight went on for 40 minutes, and then they called it a draw. And I'll get to that in a minute. But essentially, this guy has had a really, really successful career. And I said, you know, when I was researching you, of all the like things and accomplishments that you've done, the fact that you went and defended our sport, I was like, how did you prepare for that? And he said, at the time, I was like one of the top three competitors, black belts in Brazilian jiu-jitsu. He said, I felt it was an obligation on me to put myself forward to defend our sport. And that just blew my mind. It's not like a coach said to him, you need to go and fight. It's not like he was called out. Like, he actually said, I want to do this. I will put myself there. And we got into like a bit of a back and forth when we were talking about it. And he said, I don't compete to win. He's like, obviously I don't want to lose. But he's like, I'm not after the medal. I'm not after the glory. He's like, I compete because I'm a martial artist and I want to test myself against, you know, the rest of the world. I was like, that's a completely different mindset to anything that I've spoken to anyone about. It was insane. Really cool guy though. Very cool guy. He was also talking about like what he now wants to impart on the world. Mm. He was like, I just want to give back and lead by example and make this like sport, give the people that start this sport, have them get the same benefits that I took from it.
So was him, Walid, and Carlson from the same school?
I mean, I assume so, bro. This is where my history gets like really sketchy. I don't want to say yes or no because I actually don't know the like specifics of it, but I know that it was those three that fought.
Because that would be crazy to have like one school that has like those three guys.
But man, I think, you know, like he also, Master Laborio, he was his training partner as well. They were roommates apparently. So right at the start of everything that was going on. And yeah, I think I want to say yes, all under the Carlson Gracie banner. But
you know, one thing that from last week's, 2 weeks ago, I think, we interviewed Josh Hanger. And one thing that really stuck with me was when he mentioned that he didn't mean to be champion. He's just like, he's just enjoying himself. He's just having life experiences, right? And it's like, in many ways, a lot of these guys, they didn't mean to be legends.
Yeah,
they meant to win fights, they meant to defend the house, but it's like you become like a legend in like retrospect, you know, like,
yeah.
But it's like, that's quite interesting because it's like, I think now there is almost like this sense of this is where we are going, as if you could control the future a little bit, depending on like if I do X, Z, you know, because there is almost like a path.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, if you win these tournaments, if you go this way, you kind of can become this person. And these guys were just like in it.
Man, we interviewed Damian Meyer, and he said the only reason he did jiu-jitsu was because he wanted to get better at MMA. Like, he wanted to do MMA, and then he went to like an MMA school, and the guy showed him some jiu-jitsu, And he said the first fight that he got into, the guy, like, I think he said the guy punched or kicked him or something, like just walloped him. And then the stuff the guy, the jiu-jitsu the guy had showed him in like a couple of lessons, he used that and won. And then that's when he was like, oh, wow, this stuff works. But he only ever wanted to be, do the MMA. And now, like, he's obviously become Damian Maia, and he's opened up an academy in Sao Paulo, and he's got a whole program which is jiu-jitsu for MMA. And when we interviewed him, he was there, like, the class was going on. And we were kind of saying, like, look, is this, like, coming full circle? And he was like, yeah, absolutely. He's like, the whole point is, like, the role of jiu-jitsu in MMA. But what's super interesting is he, and through a number of other videos that I've been watching, he very much aligns with jiu-jitsu as an art of self-defense, first and foremost. And one of the other films I was watching, it's by Eat Films. I can't remember the name of it. It's by Eat Films. If you Google it, that it's like a 45-minute jiu-jitsu documentary. A lot of those original guys, like Chris Hoyter as well, are like the sport version of jiu-jitsu. You can handle yourself, like, you shouldn't be worried, but it has gravitated so far away from the original concept of self-defense. His whole upbringing, Chris Hoyter, was first and foremost, you have to be able to defend yourself. Whereas, like you were just saying, like, the path of becoming a world champion within the art of sport jiu-jitsu has very much gravitated away from self-defense.
Yeah, and I mean, it's clear why. Like, I think Luis Royce mentions this. It's like, not everybody's going to be a world champion, but it's like the difference that jiu-jitsu makes in your life, you know? But one story that I heard from Damian Maia, he was in a Brazilian talk show, and he says that one time he was like with his friends. So they went to like just a restaurant or something. And at the door of the restaurant, I think there was like a weird car situation with another guy. Maybe he cut him off, but by mistake, like he didn't understand some signal. So the guy got pissed at him, starts swearing at him like, fuck you, blah, 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 blah. And then Damian Maia's like, what's the matter with this guy, right? Yeah. And then his friends are like, ah, no, let it go. So Damian Maia was really nice to him, like, sorry. And that guy kept still, like, going hard. And apparently they were sitting in the restaurant. And that guy that was swearing at his friends were like, was swearing at Damian Maia, was with his friends. And the guy's friends, let's call him Jimmy. And Jimmy's friends are going like, man, are you fucking crazy?
So they knew Damian Maia.
That's like an MMA fighter and so on and so on. So Damian Maia says that he never saw that guy again. Until one time, I think later at a seminar or like somewhere in the street, they bump into each other. And he said, man, I met you at this place. I swear that you. And I so apologize. And after that day, I, like, never insulted anybody else, and I went to train jiu-jitsu. Yeah, like, so pretty that guy went to train jiu-jitsu, and he met Damian Maia later on. Imagine if Damian Maia was, like, a hot-headed guy.
Imagine, man.
Yeah, it could have been the end.
That could have been it. Game over. You just don't know, bro.
Yeah, you just don't know. Like, I remember first time I rolled in MMA, jiu-jitsu. It wasn't like people that are like physically more dominant than me or looked scary.
You know, a real common story you get in jiu-jitsu is the guy that comes in and doesn't believe in jiu-jitsu and then has this like really, not rude awakening, but there's no like argument about it. Like,
what's going on here?
Yeah, I'm going to completely control you and there's nothing you can do about it. I kind of never had that because I always knew that was going to happen to me. Like, I knew that when I rolled, I was going to be rubbish. But I also knew if I kept at it, I'd get better. I just, for those people that are looking at it, they're so skeptical, I guess, like.
But, I mean, I think sometimes it's shocking, bro. Like, I remember I was rolling with someone who was, like, 3 times my size. But at blue belt, not, like, at white belt. And I couldn't believe it. I swear to God, I couldn't believe it because it's like.
I love the little guy that on the street looks like nothing, but in the gym, you have no idea.
Yeah. it's a beautiful thing, right? It's like, it shows like what hard training can do. And like, just like, I think it's like with anything, right? It's like, there is this it's a terrible story, but when
please, I'm glad you've kept it for the podcast.
When Columbus arrived in the Amazon and stuff, I think he didn't want to come back, go to Europe to get more food, so he wanted to steal from the Indians. So what he did is he went like, "Oh guys, my God is more powerful than your God," because he understood the stars and and astronomy. So he was like, he knew that in a few weeks or something there was gonna be an eclipse. Mm. So he goes like, "Guys, here's what's gonna happen. If you don't give me your food, I will tell my God to stop bringing sun and moon, like to take your moon away or some shit like that."
Imagine being those people.
And bro,
then, and then the all sun the week disappears. That he says,
and they're like, "Whoa!" They gave him everything, right? But it's like, I don't remember who said this, but I think it was some martial arts stuff. He said, "It's like good." I think it was some Buddhist shit. But it's like, he said, "Good." Fuck! That was so beautiful. It's a good, good, something good. Put into someone, I'm gonna butcher, okay? But it's like something good when it's put into someone's bad hands, it's gonna it can do more harm than good.
Okay, yeah.
You know, kind of thing, and I think that's quite a thing with jiu-jitsu, because it's like
abuse the power.
Yeah, bro. Like I'm imagining. Did you see that video? There was like a video that went random. I think Renzo Gracie reposted like these two homeless guys.
And they both knew jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, they both knew jiu-jitsu. They're rolling.
I saw that. He was like, "In Brazil, everyone knows jiu-jitsu."
Exactly. And it's just like, those guys were drunk and they could have hurt anyone, you know, so.
Bro, we interviewed Henzo as well.
Mm-hmm.
He's got some crazy stories, man. He's just such a cool guy. Like what he's done through jiu-jitsu, especially with like, in like the UAE with the Emirates, is incredible. Like it's become compulsory, like in schools.
Wow.
Like to progress within the army, you have to be a certain belt. Like it's legit, man. It's so legit. He's so funny as well. Mm-hmm. Like you talk to him, you're just like constantly smiling. He's great.
There's the Brazilian ways.
Yeah, definitely. I read a good quote the other day, actually. I started reading that Closed Guard book on the history and the origins of jiu-jitsu.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a quote which was from, I want to say it's from 1984 by George Orwell,
mm-hmm.
which essentially was, he who controls the past dictates the future, and he who controls the present controls the past.
Wait, can you repeat that?
Basically what he's saying is, if you can influence how people view the past, then you can control the future,
because
everyone's on a trajectory. So if the narrative of the past is controlled, you can determine what's going to happen in the future. And if you are the one in control of the present, then you can control the past.
Mm.
So it's basically like you're changing the narrative to suit your means.
Mm.
Which is interesting when you're about to get into a book on the history of our sport. I don't know, I haven't got that far in, but he's starting to allude that the common narrative we all know isn't necessarily the most accurate. We shall see.
Isn't it hard though? Like also, like I think sometimes it's like telling a story, right? It's like that are certain parts. It's like I remember. I don't know. I think it was Dave Chappelle saying this thing about like, for example, I don't know if it's Dave Chappelle or Bill Burr. But it's like, I don't know my mom. She tells me this story about how she met my dad. What about all those years that she was going out with other guys? She's like, you know, like falling in love, out of love, and just like she doesn't tell me.
Well, this guy talks about it. He's like, when was it? No, he didn't say this, but the general gist is like, when do you really tell a completely honest story? Like, you don't embellish, you don't like play things up, you don't do things for comedic effect. When are you just 100% factually accurate? It's quite rare, right? Like,
but then that's the thing. It's like storytelling is not the same thing. It's just like journalism, you know, like sort of like I can just drop facts on you, and it's just like, imagine, I'm pretty sure you know this, you know someone that when you're having a conversation with them, you don't know where it's gonna go, but you keep like just going with it, right? And then there is someone that you also don't know where it's gonna go because they have all the facts,
yeah,
but you're just like dreaded, you know, like so
what's coach says, he's like, there's three sides of every story: my side, your side, and the truth.
Yeah,
which is kind of like that. I usually think that's kind of accurate. This guy in the book says that as well. He's like, rarely do you get the absolute truth. You're kind of skirting around the edges of an agreed sense of what the truth is.
I think something that stories can have, that's, you can actually get like a sense of the truth. Like sort of like, you know, like a weight of it. Like you feel like there is some truth in this. But yeah, and then there are so many sides, you know, like so many people tell the same story so differently.
With their own biases, their own interpretations, and they're all like, they all want it to be something that maybe it isn't.
And yeah.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. We had like, when we started, we were like, what are we going to talk about? We're going to talk about vulnerability.
Just going to chat.
But it's actually cool because like, if you think about it, we've been having a lot of guests lately.
We have had a lot of guests and some great guests as well. Some great guests. Man, I tell you what, Will made me realize, I think I might need to go on a spiritual journey with life.
Break it down to me.
He made me realize that like I have a lot of views, especially around like spiritualism and religion, which have been largely formed in my upbringing. And he made a really good point, which is like you can better yourself through the physical, but you can also better yourself through like your mental, I don't know what you want to say, your mental capacity, like the ideas of meditation and religion and spirituality and like connecting with something else. And I'm just completely closed off to it. And one of the things I've realized in life is that I often think I know and I don't know. And then I make these decisions based on like my closed off opinion and it's wrong. So maybe I need to like open my mind to some stuff.
Yeah. Just know like I've opened my mind to some stuff. Number one thing when it comes to spirituality, fake gurus.
Well, this is it. I'm not looking to get like suckered in or taken advantage of. So this is what I did, bro.
That's how it started, Sally.
Well, this is what I did, bro. So I was chatting to my mate about it, and they were like, "Well, how are you going to start your spiritual journey?" So I googled starting your spiritual journey. Do you want to listen to the six steps?
Mm-hmm.
Step number one: declutter. So start by making your room. My room's pretty cluttered. Yeah.
Number two:
examine your beliefs. Be conscious of and intentional about what you believe. I think I kind of do that already. Do you do that?
Yeah. A lot more than I should, yeah.
How cluttered is your room? How cluttered is your
room? It's cluttered right now. Like, I'm moving, bro.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, like, it's very cluttered right now.
But isn't that the perfect opportunity to declutter?
Yeah, man. So, like, I actually started, and I was making jokes about this with Martin and Isabella.
Because
have you seen that lady, the decluttering lady?
Oh, my God. I don't know what her ethnicity is. Yeah, do you know what it is?
I think she's Japanese, bro.
She thinks she's Japanese?
Yeah, bro.
She's hilarious. She walks in, and she doesn't speak any English, does she? So she has an interpreter. That interpreter is not being accurate in the interpreter. I'm telling you now, that woman, she walks in, the look of pure disgust on her face. She looks around that room and she's blatantly saying, like, you people are animals. And then the woman's like, she's not impressed.
And then I read her books. I read her book, like,
Marie Kondo or something?
Yeah,
like
Marie Kondo.
Kondo, yeah.
So I read her book, bro. And, like, I'm with it. Like, you know, a lot of the stuff she was saying, like, I was like, because I was getting rid of clothes. I got rid of, like, half of my... If you notice, I'm always dressing, like, very much the same clothes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like...
The capsule wardrobe. Have you heard about the capsule wardrobe?
Yeah.
We'll get onto that in a minute. Finish your...
But yeah, like, I got rid of a lot of my clothes, so it's like...
Did you hold them in your hand and
yeah, and it, I did. It, I did
it brought you joy.
Yeah.
And what you're wearing now brought you joy.
Yeah, brought me joy. And next thing... Why are you looking at me like, Jesus Christ, are you kidding? Fuck you. And that is like, actually, you know, the things that brought me joy were weird. Like, there's this blue shirt that has like two holes in it. I love it.
For the arms?
For the arms. Nah, like on the back. I love it. But it's just like, in my mind, that was a shirt that I was going to get rid of. Like, when I was thinking of my clothes, and then clothes that I really liked, they didn't bring me joy. But then the thing that is funny is like, then she's like, we get past that part. Now start talking to your house. Like,
Nah, bro, so this is it. Like, maybe we just have our minds closed off to talking to your house.
Nah, I mean, I tried.
And how'd it go?
I mean, some days it went good, some days it went
sometimes good, sometimes shit.
Yeah, I think the thing that was hard is like, I found it hard, you know, like sort of like talking to the house thing, but I tried and I still try. And I find like the resistance stories. And one thing that I learned in the spiritual journey thing is like, you try it, you see what works for you.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like, man, I tried some random shit. I tried, like, raw vegan diet for like 3 months.
I remember that.
You know? No, that was like way back, bro. Like I was eating like tomato soup. Oh, raw. Oh, like at the time I was like pushing towards like.
But then you also went on a full meat diet.
I know.
And everyone in the gym said, don't do it.
I mean, but I tried it, and now I know it doesn't work.
And then 3 days later, you're like, nah, bro, it doesn't work.
Yeah. I mean, that's like open-minded, but like...
Yeah.
But the thing, I guess, it's like, if I kept forcing it, like Joe Rogan said, so, you know, it's like, that's wild.
Mm.
But I guess, like, but yeah, so Marie Kondo, talking to my house, I'm finding it difficult.
Yeah.
But yeah, the clothes part is fine. But continue.
I was also going to say, the capsule wardrobe is you basically buy, like two t-shirts, two shirts, like this and that, and you have like just your real limited wardrobe that you just wear it and then recycle when it gets old.
And then when you have like a moment to go out or something like that, you might have something extra.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It just takes away the stress every day.
It does, bro. It actually does. Like I just have to think about, especially like now that it's winter, I'm wearing mostly like hot clothes. So it's like, I just have to think about like my clothes under But tell me more.
Declutter. Examine your beliefs. Expand your mind, which I just read as drugs, but it doesn't explicitly say drugs. It says explore new ideas and differing beliefs.
On that, there was something that Will said that I also appreciate very much. Because we spoke about this. Like, I was thinking about, like, I've been reading so much on, like, psychedelics. I watched this crazy documentary, bro, about people that have, like, PTSD and trauma and... Mm. Like, they're using MDMA to help them heal.
Like, microdosing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But, like, it's, like, in Israel, and it's just, like...
Is it working?
Yeah, bro. Like, it's so beautiful to see, like, someone, for the first time, having, like, that environment and that chemical change that allows them to feel something.
Yeah.
For a few minutes, and then, like, when it goes off, like, there is someone there to talk and, like, guide them.
Is it long-term?
Hmm? Yeah. So it's like therapy, but with that. And like the studies show difference. But then, I mean, and then there are like the shamans thing. But then Will said something really interesting, which was there are two ways to a spiritual path. Some can lead you towards drugs and stuff like that. And then the other one, it can be like the monk one, where you go to the mountain, you meditate, or you try to create that in your everyday life, right? It doesn't necessarily need to even be like meditation or anything like that.
He was talking about ayahuasca as well, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm. But yeah, he was giving that example of like, there are people that go that path, and then there are people that go that path. And enlightenment, you know, can happen in both ways, kind of thing. But enlightenment, to be honest, is like red belt. You know, like in a sense of like, maybe yes, maybe no, but like you just practice the things that...
And it feels like you got to fully commit to it. Like you got to throw everything else out and go for it.
So it's random. The stories about it are crazy. Like, there is this guy...
The MDMA stuff?
Just the enlightenment in general.
Oh, just getting enlightenment.
There are people that were sitting in a bench.
With no prior, like, work towards it?
Nothing,
and they just got enlightenment?
Yeah, like, it's like...
That how do you prove that? How do you test that?
Hmm?
How, someone says, I've got enlightenment.
I think...
Does he go meet the Dalai Lama? And the Dalai Lama says... Yeah,
bro. Even the Dalai Lama is kind of fishy, bro. Because it's like no disrespect. Sorry, this is messed up. But because it's like the thing with the Dalai Lama is like you have to believe in karma to almost make sense. Mm-hmm. So if you don't believe in it, I do believe, you know. But like I understand if someone is like, bro, that like we don't have a second life or something like that. Sometimes like I see things that maybe it's possible, maybe it's not. I won't say I believe or don't. I'm open to it, but it's like, it's almost like, yeah, if you take this mark out of the equation, it falls apart kind of thing. But at the same time, the Dalai Lama is the realest, you know, like he's been through a lot with his situation, like of like losing his people and stuff like that.
And he seems like a cool guy.
But it's still very political too. So it's like, you know, it's very hard to gauge. But
do you ever watch the John Oliver show?
You
know the Brit over in America that does a talk show?
Yeah. No.
He was talking about the Dalai Lama, and he was saying that it's coming to the point where a new Dalai Lama needs to be appointed. And the Dalai Lama found the new Dalai Lama, and then apparently the Chinese took him away and said, no, he's not the Dalai Lama. Here's the Dalai Lama.
Ooh.
Yeah, watch it. It's a bit sketchy. Bro, get on this as well. So I decided I need a spiritual journey, and then I was on Netflix, and there was this whole thing about, like... different spiritualities and beliefs. And the first episode was near-death experiences or actual death experiences. So coming back to our good friend Rippon. And there were these people that were like... The first one, the lady was canoeing and she went over the edge of a waterfall. She got pinned and she said that her canoe was pinned and she was like folded over and she, her like back was pinned against the rock and she, the pressure, she could feel her bones breaking and she was like, well, this is it, I'm going to die. And then she described something which was like a huge expanse of time, but time had no meaning. So she, it wasn't like an eternity or 5 minutes. And then she was like spanning the universe and like seeing all these things. And then the canoe got unlodged and she came up and then she came back. And that like kicked off the episode. And then people were all giving their like experiences and stuff.
Bro, I'm about to cry, man. I'm not even joking.
But then like scientists were basically tracking it all and like saying like, we're looking for causality. So we're looking for recurring themes and stuff like that. And some of the stuff that they were saying was like kind of convincing. Go. Well, I was gonna say here's my thought, here's my process. So when you go into a really stressful situation, your body floods you with like adrenaline and things that like help you to not feel pain and help you to like, you know, have a heightened sense of everything.
And then it releases something.
Is it too much of a stretch that your body
when you're hallucinating
and just floods your brain with, you know, the things like DMT and all these things. Do you know what I mean?
So, bro, have I told you about my spiritual sort of like what the fuck moment?
No, but now may be the time. It's not the dream again, is it?
Yeah, and then in the dream again.
I grabbed the fruit. He grabbed the fruit.
Oh my god. And then, so one thing that happened is I like before coming here, I was freelancing, and bro, like I was like trying to prove a point that I can make it, you know, like I was really trying to prove a point. So it was like work nonstop, working 3 jobs. Like everybody say, "Oh, are you free?" I'm like, "Of course I'm free." I was not free, bro. Like I was shooting weddings, doing illustration, doing animation, like just like a machine. At the same time, I was still meditating. I started meditating when I was 19, 18, like ending. Because my dad had to learn meditation for work. So, like, he taught me how to do it. And then I started doing courses. I really got into it. So, at this point, I think I'm 26, 27. Yeah, 27. And I'm really into it. So, like, an ex-girlfriend of mine was like, bro, do you want to do this Vipassana thing? I think it would be nice for you. At this point, we're just friends. And I went. 10 days of meditation. I'm like, this is amazing. But at the same time, it's like, I have so much to do and it's in January. So my mind is thinking about all these things that I have to do, but I'm like, oh, go to meditation. I get there. I remember I'll never forget this line. There's a guy sitting next to me. So chilled, man. He's so chilled. And I asked him, hey bro, so what brought you here? It's like, suffering, bro, suffering.
Suffering.
Yeah, they're like, suffering, man, suffering. And then the meditation starts. And the first day, just complete basics. Just pay attention to your breath. We start meditating at 4 in the morning till like 8. You have breakfast.
Until 8 in the morning.
Yeah, and then...
8 at night.
8 or 7, yeah. And then you go again, like at 10 or something. You meditate again until like lunch at 1. And then you go again, like to your bed, to sleep, to relax. Then you come back. This goes on and off for until like 8 p.m.
Is it mentally taxing? Is it mentally taxing?
A bit. But the thing is also, it's also like the first few days, you're like resisting it. Because you have your whole life that you put on standby, right? So it's like, or at least I was resisting it. I'm projecting now. But it's like... So, yeah, like, I'm sitting there. It's, like, first day. It's, like, oh, man, I'm thinking, fuck. I know how to check breath in and out. This is, like, meditation 101. Second day, same thing. By the way, you're sitting on the floor with your legs crossed. And I had a knee injury at the time from CrossFit. So it's hurting so much.
You had a knee injury from CrossFit?
Mm-hmm.
Carry on.
Ah, you didn't know this CrossFit part of my life? Oh, okay, I get it, again.
No,
keep, oh, you're keep surprised. On, you're keep, surprised. Keep I get it, I get it, I get it. Meditation story. So... Yeah, man, like, and it's just like second day, same thing. Third day, starts hitting. Like he showed us something that he didn't know in the meditation, which was just not paying attention to your breath, but paying attention to how long it goes in. I was like, ah, interesting. My mind started calming down more, and I think I was releasing more, accepting more that I'm going to be here for 10 days. And that was it. We're on fourth day, bro. I don't know what happened. And my voice starts shaking. You know, like my throat starts shaking a little bit. Fifth day, starts shaking more. And I start crying. Mm. I just like go into like this ball of crying and crying, but nonstop. It's like tears and tears and tears, moaning. Almost like tears of grief. At the time, like my aunt passed away like a year prior, and my granddad passed away. So I thought maybe, but at the same time, it was so intense, just like pouring out of me. And the teacher calls me, like, cause also like first I screamed and then I cried, and then it's like, bro, come here. What's your history like? Do you have any history like with drugs, with anything like that, with also any epilepsy, like any mental health issues in your family? It was like, nah. Then it's like, cool. But then I was shaking, bro. I was shaking a lot. Like, my body was shaking a lot. Sixth day, my body keeps shaking. I keep crying. And then now it's just like I'm crying and I'm screaming. But, like, my body's shaking. Actually, I think I have video of this. My body's shaking. I'm not going to post it on the gram, guys. I'm just saying this to Ollie. I'm going to show it to Ollie. But then it's just like, yeah, man. I keep crying. And then the guy's like, man, 7 days, the guy's like, man, you're disturbing everybody in the class. Go meditate in your room a little bit. Because, like, I'm screaming now. And then all of a sudden, I'm laying in the bed after, like, the sort of, like, after lunch. I'm just laying in bed and meditating a little bit, kind of resting.
Still crying.
Hmm? Yeah. And all of a sudden, bro, all the tears, like, they come, like, it's almost, I feel like, because it's coming from like the root of my spine up to my throat. And then something like on my heart, like kind of like the sensation gets really strong, goes up to my throat and something pops like, bah! And I started laughing. Like it literally felt like something popped on my throat. And then I just started laughing and I started laughing and I can't stop laughing. I'm laughing so hard, so hard. I'm crying. It felt like 30 minutes to 40 minutes. I don't know how long it was. And after that, it's peace. And I've never, never felt so much love. I felt connected to everything. Like, I felt like I understood where those tears were coming from, all the doubts that I was having, like, all that trying to make it thing of, like, once I make it, I will be good enough or something like that. All of that, like, was kind of, like, ripped apart. You know, and I could feel like, oh, we are all one in the same. Like, you know, like, bro, it's so ridiculous because it's like ninth day or eighth day. When I got back home, I saw my parents and started crying. I was like so happy to see them. And I just couldn't stop pouring love out of me. I went to have lunch with my sister at her house. And like midway through lunch, she's like, ah, bro, you're going to cry again. I'm like, ah, it's like, what the fuck? And then I got back to my work, and I was so confused because I was like, I've arrived, but I still have work to do. And that was like mostly, I would say, like a point of like almost like a distraction thing where it's like, I think like ever since I've been trying to put all of this together about like, did I this experience that I had didn't cost me any money because the retreat was for free. It didn't cost me anything. It was just me sitting with something inside of me. And it was like the most significant experience that I've had, right? And it's just like, but at the same time, it's like, wow, how do, like, it's like you know, like when people say, some people, what stops them from achieving what they want is the fear of success. It's also like, you never think that once someone becomes enlightened or some shit like that. By the way, I think the thing of enlightenment, I don't think I was became enlightened. And also enlightenment, I think it's something that happens once and it's like almost in jujitsu. Like, your mind expands when you realize that, oh, there is this thing, like a backstep, you know, kind of thing. And you're like, oh my God. And you start doing a backstep. And then you're like, oh, now I can, you know? So it's almost like your consciousness expanding or some shit like that. But the thing is, after all of this, it's like I'm finding so hard to motivate myself because I realize that a lot of how I used to work hard, I used to get myself to do things was putting myself down as you are not good enough. You gotta work hard. You are shit. And like that kept me going until the point that I realized that, oh, that's not true. So how do I like accept that like I am enough, I am good, but at the same time find the drive to still pursue things? And that was really hard because I was just like a little bit like, oh, everything that seems to think, I'm in trouble. So that was my sort of like...
That's pretty profound.
That's
pretty profound.
Yeah. It was. I'm getting goosebumps all over, man. So that's why when you're telling that story, I was like choking up a little bit.
Also, I have to say one takeaway I took from that is all these people whose wedding videos you were editing and then you go away for 10 days and then you come back. Oh, by the way, I'm enlightened. Where's my wedding video?
Exactly.
Where's my wedding video?
But I think also like it was too much. You know, the experience was too much. And then I come back and I don't have anybody to talk to that can relate or been through something similar that can guide me. You know, sort of. So a lot of it has been a lot of trying to piece things back together. Even I remember after that, I was scared of meditating.
Oh, really? In case it came back?
Yeah, not even. Like, even now, sometimes it does come back. Like, I remember the other day I was going to meet a friend. And, all of a sudden, I just felt like this. It's like I usually meditate at 5 o'clock and at 5 in the morning. So, like, sometimes 5 o'clock hits and I just feel like I get in a state of meditation. But I think it's just the thing of, like, habit.
Yeah, okay.
So, it's like, I remember one day I'm sitting in the bus and I'm like, oh. That was so weird. Yeah. Like, you know, so stuff like that is a little bit trippy. But I think it's like understanding that it's not about having those experiences. Like, those experiences can be distracting to the real reason why.
Well, I mean, yeah.
The
meditation guy sent you to your room.
Yeah. No, I mean, like...
He was not equipped for that.
The whole point is to practice awareness. Like, because, you know, and to practice your ability to see things as they are.
Yeah.
To get to know yourself, not to like be like, oh, I love everything, I love everyone. You know, like that can be distracting
because
those experiences are there. And I think that's the trouble with drugs. Like someone can see truth or something like that by doing like psychedelic drugs, but they can also go the other way where
it goes
they
just, very wrong.
Yeah, not even if it goes very right, they can just keep doing more and more and more because it's fun.
Yeah.
So it's on the edge. I don't know.
Very good point. That was step number three. Step number four, go outside. Completed it, bro. Step number four.
Yeah, you're
go outside. Meaning
go outside, like in nature?
Yeah, I think it gets like get more connected to the world that you live in.
Hmm.
It's a good point. Definitely helped during lockdown to get outside at least once.
Don't you think you do quite a bit of that?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe I need to do more. Who knows, bro? Step number five, take care of yourself. What'd you make of that? What'd you make of that?
I think you do take care of yourself.
I think I take care of myself. I think I know like what's good and what's bad. And when I do the bad things, I'm trying to like keep it under control. And
you don't abuse your body.
I don't. No, not too much. No.
Yeah.
I drink sometimes.
Which
I
eat is fine. Shit. Yeah, like, you know, but like, yeah, you don't like.
But do I take care of myself mentally? How would you ever know that? I think I do. I think I have a fairly healthy dialogue with myself.
One question, man. I was talking about this with a friend, right? So he watched the documentary by Michael Phelps.
Yeah, the Weight of Gold,
right? And he was telling me like, bro, you know what shocked me about this shit? Is that like, unless these people spoke, how could you know?
How would you ever know?
How could you know?
Bro. It's kind of a similar story, but not really that similar. I've watched, do you know the masterclass things you can get, like learn filmmaking with Ron Howard? I think it was Aaron Sorkin that was like, if you have an idea in your head and you don't tell anyone, that's only good if you go to prison and you can tell yourself this story and this idea and live it. He's like, if you're not in prison, you don't tell anyone, like, what's the point? write it down, do something with it. It's the same as like a dialogue if you're struggling. You know, talk to someone, tell someone. How would you ever know?
It's kind of crazy, man. Like, it's like Michael Phelps, greatest Olympian ever. What is he thinking? I want to kill myself.
Yeah, and he says that, doesn't he, in the trailer?
Yeah.
He's.
And then you think, like...
He's like, I've done everything, I've achieved everything, there's nothing more, so I may as well end it.
And it's not just him, it's, what's his name? Gypsy King.
Tyson Fury.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, well, I mean, his spiral from great heights to...
Lowest lows
was pretty well documented. And he's been very... I mean, you know, think what you will about Tyson Fury. His openness to talk about it and his willingness to let people know how bad it got is phenomenal and can only serve to help someone, surely. To see someone that has that go through what he has and then speak about it and not be ashamed of it. I tell you someone else as well. Tony Bellew.
Mm.
He went on that SAS Who Dares Wins, the celebrities. Mm. And man, like... The whole series, the whole program, they were like, you're just a ticking time bomb waiting to explode, and you're either going to hurt yourself or someone else. And he was like, yeah, I just have no focus. I'm just lost after boxing. And he's like, I'm just angry all the time. And there's a scene actually where he squares up to Ant Middleton, and Ant Middleton doesn't back down and just shouts. And then they go like into an interrogation scene, and he's like, I'm so sorry. And they're like, man, we don't care. Like, whatever. Like, we're not saints. He's like, we're just mostly concerned about your well-being. Because he has no focus. He's completely lost any... He said, yeah, I achieved everything I wanted to do, and now he's at a loss. Crazy stuff, man.
Yeah, man, it's scary, bro. I think the scariest part is about, like, this mental health thing is the number one things, I think, that help, like, mindfulness, meditation helps. One thing that is very important is talking about it.
100%. But it's like... It's difficult for me to say talk about it, and someone's listening to this and they're like, yeah, but what do you know?
Like, I mean, I go through it, and like the thing I notice is that's exactly what your brain tells you not to do. Like, yeah. It's like, you know, it's almost like you've lost in a maze. So when it's time to talk about it, you don't notice that you're not talking about it until like a week or two later, and you're like, oh, I was actually feeling down.
I'm gonna talk about someone here, but I'm not gonna mention who they are. You and I both know them, and I think a lot of people, if I said his name, would know who it is. But I'm not gonna mention him because that's not fair without his prior permission. He's recently lost someone very, very close to him, and out of the blue, he messaged me, and we were talking about it. And he basically said, "Yeah, I've been in a very dark place, but I'm coming through it at the moment." And the first thing I said is, "You talk to someone." Talk to me, talk to someone else, someone talks close to you, because that is the main thing, is to sit inside your head and go through all that. It's going to make that place even darker.
And the thing I find is, like, you know, the moment that that person sent you the text, that's not the problem. The problem is, like, when that person is at night at home at 1 in the morning and they can't sleep. That's the problem. That's what's scary. That's like, it's like, it's not when they talk about it, it's when they have no one to talk to. And it's like, it happens in the most random times. So that for me is like what is scary. And the thing that that is important to know is sometimes the best thing is also creating an environment around you that when you can't support yourself, that environment will be able to support you.
I agree completely.
Damn, son. We had no topic, and I'm here getting goosebumps, bro.
Do you
want
to know the final point of my 6-step spiritual journey?
Break it down.
Learn to let go. And there it is.
What do you think that means to you?
Learn to let go? Nah, I don't know, man. I don't know. That one probably needs some more exploration. Learn to let go. Surrender yourself to the things that... I don't know, man.
Yeah, I think. Let me actually. I sent a text to Ripon today. We were chatting, and he said something really interesting. And I think it's along these lines. Not exactly the same line, but close enough. So, I do think
I've got better at letting, like, I don't get in my own head too much about little things. I read something once, which was like, if someone says something and it annoys you, are you going to let 10 seconds ruin 24 hours. I was like, yeah, that's quite good, actually.
I asked him, Ripon, if you could put in one word, what did you learn the most from your cardiac arrest? And he said, miracles, luck. That is the word. But what I've learned most is, don't worry about tomorrow. Focus on now. Whatever you do today will help you tomorrow. So focus on today. Tomorrow hasn't happened and you can't predict it. So why stress about it? I genuinely can't think past 1 or 2 hours into the future. It's like a mental block I have. I mean, that's a bit extreme, that the last part, Ripon. Shout out to Ripon. No, it's that's not even cool, a bit though. Extreme. I'm kidding.
Have you seen the film About Time? Have you seen this film? It's a great film. Mm-hmm. It's about time. It's called About Time. And it's basically, the general gist of it is that there's a family and all the men in that family have the ability to time travel.
Mm.
Man, it's so good. You need to watch this film. I think you'll like it. It's kind of a rom-com, but not really.
Mm.
And I'm going to tell you this. It's not really giving the game away. The dad like tells the son, and then the son like goes and like time travels. And then he's like, what's your one piece of advice? And he's like, live every day twice. Live the day. And then go back to the beginning of the day
and live it again
and take everything in. Man, how profound is that? But like, look at us living without being able to time travel, missing all that opportunity to take in the day.
Yeah. And isn't it crazy also, like, when you think about, like, I think what Ripon was saying is, it's like really the smallest things that matter, you know, like.
Yeah.
He's
going to have nothing but perspective, right? About life. And what's important and what isn't.
One thing, our conversation we had last week, we were texting about this. So I tend to get uptight about things. Like, sort of, once I have an objective, it's like all the, you know, like, it's like the general that points all the
troops.
All the troops in one direction. Let's go! And burns all the boats. It's like, bro, we need to go back home here, right? But the thing, that's not the problem. The problem is that I forget why I started doing it. It's usually because I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And we're talking about this because you're like, for example, I think I'll give an example with the podcast, right? This is just so much fun, right? Like, and we have zero goals. Like, we don't have goals like, the only goal is just like show up. And do a podcast.
Show up and do a podcast.
Yeah, we don't have any goals of how many followers, how many like podcast plays. It's like, and sometimes
actually, I have another goal.
Mm-hmm.
Get John Jitsu back on the podcast.
That's a big one. John Jitsu, what up?
He doesn't listen. Come on, he doesn't listen, bro. He started this thing and he doesn't even listen.
Yeah, and one of the things that's crazy about that is, it's just so much fun. Like, I mean, like, we're putting. If you look at it, I started posting some stuff that we do on the podcast on LinkedIn.
LinkedIn?
Yeah. Like,
it's an interesting social media channel we're exploiting.
I know, because the thing, it's like, what I realized is like, man, this last 2 weeks, I did more on the podcast.
Mm.
Like, I learned new skills. Like, for example, like my meme creation.
creation. Your meme game's on point.
It's on point. You know, it's like... It sounds like nothing, but it's actually about reading an audience and reading the space.
I mean, you got a ha 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 from Shonji Ribeiro.
Moment of silence. But that is like, but I think it's like more about like, there are memes for differences. Like, I had to look at memes and be like, okay, if I had to, you know, like get the punchline and shit like that. I mean, I was just looking at memes. I was procrastinating. I was being that methodical. But then the thing is, it's so much fun. But then like, when you're doing the work, like, you're gonna edit this podcast after this, it doesn't feel like
No.
It's just like fun. We post it and we
it's
keep
the best type of content.
And then the thing is, maybe if we had to put a lot of goals and we had to like add markers, we would take away the fun from it, and maybe we wouldn't do as much, or it wouldn't do as well for us, like.
Yeah.
And I was writing this blog post on LinkedIn where it says like, I remember a lecturer telling me this when I was in bachelor's. He was like, there are two or three types of work you have to do. One that pays the bills.
Mm.
One that is like exciting.
Mm.
Like sort of like just cool shit. And one that feeds the soul.
That's very good, actually.
You know? It's just like one that you just do it. That you do it for free. It's just interesting to you.
Do the memes feed the soul for you?
Bro.
I really should check out Gilosophy's LinkedIn page.
Mm-hmm. And I was just putting on mine. I have to put out Julosophy's LinkedIn. I actually didn't think of that. I was just like blogging on LinkedIn. But that's a good one.
Did you set up a Reddit account?
Yeah, I did.
How's it going?
It's all right. Like, I actually struggled. I don't know exactly how to put the subreddit and, you know, like, sort of like
different posts. You'd think r/Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu would like to listen to a podcast with Josh Hinger.
Yeah. Actually, shame on me. I haven't posted a lot on Reddit.
What have you been posting on Reddit?
Yeah,
memes.
On Reddit?
Yeah.
Yeah, I posted like the meme of the gorilla and the bear. By the way, follow us on Reddit, guys. I know.
Josh Hinger or Cameron a meme?
Like meme.
Good job we plan these things, isn't it?
Yeah. But I mean, it's all a lesson, man. Like, I think it's good. Like, you've learned Audition really quick.
Yeah, we learned Audition.
Yeah. Just like really quick, and
I do two podcasts now.
Yeah, just like that. How is that? How the podcast going?
That's the best one.
Yeah.
That's the best one.
Ow.
The London Fight Factory podcast. Bro, it's so perfect.
Yeah.
Because Coach runs it. Ollie, be here at this time. Half an hour. Done. Get it up. Finished.
Yeah, man.
If you guys are listening as well, you should go check it out. It's called the London Fight Factory podcast.
And it's with our coach, Luis. Yeah. It is on the second episode, and it looks epic. I haven't heard it. I just saw it came out. So. Yeah.
We did one with, do you know Tyler? Tyler Hogan? He does Muay Thai.
I think I know him.
19 years old and like speaks as if he's got just years of experience. Such a nice guy. So cool to listen to him chat. Really cool. Really cool guy.
It's amazing, man. Yeah, bro. I also got to say, on that fun thing, you know, you said to me like something really interesting. It's like, bro, just enjoy it. Just enjoy it. Like I try to make a British accent.
Go on, you do me.
You know, the thing is, nah, it's terrible. Because you, like, you know, like, I think, like, with accents, it's, someone has to have, like, something that, it's like a...
Mine's very nondescript.
Exactly, like, you know, it's like very, like, yeah, it's flat. Like, in the, it's flat.
Yeah.
But I know it's you when you speak, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe, like, maybe if I could copy your mannerisms, people would be able to tell it's you.
Yeah.
Certain things you say more often than not. Than
the only one I can do of you is, bro. Jesus.
Yeah, but that's not me. So
mud.
Mud. It's mud, bro. But like one thing, you were saying this about like, just enjoy it.
Just have fun.
And that's one thing that I noticed. When I just have fun and I just do things that I have fun, not just, usually for the most part, the results tend to come on their own. I don't even notice that I'm making results or anything.
But the thing is, bro, if we're doing this podcast and we're doing it for us, like, why are we not going to make it fun? As soon as it doesn't feel like fun, like, why on earth would we keep doing it? But if it is a lot of fun.
Think about jiu-jitsu, how hard you work.
Oh, my God.
But at the same time, it does not feel like hard at all.
Nah, that's because it's a love and a passion, and like, I recognize the hard work will equal enjoyment.
Yeah. And also because you know that tomorrow if you don't work hard, someone's going to choke you. You know, it's like, I don't know.
Nothing more motivating than that.
Yeah. And it's like your friend, like with that smile, like, hey, you don't want
But that's the thing. Like, if we don't put out a podcast, the podcast just finishes. Like, I don't know. It's not like we don't put a podcast and we're not number one anymore or like another podcast gets better than us. We put out a podcast because we enjoy putting out a podcast.
And I gotta say, like, I think, you know, about the feeding the soul thing, I remember that at times that we had conversations and afterwards the conversation lingers, right? And it stays with you.
Mm.
And you're like, oh, man.
Oh,
like,
man.
Like, this whole week, like, so at COVID, so, like, I haven't felt like working out hard. And then this week, after interviewing Will, I could hear the whole time in my head, sweat beats regret.
Sweat beats regret.
Procrastination is the thief of time.
He had some really interesting views, not just on like martial art, but on life as well. Like, I liked his whole thing about like light and dark, and like you can't have one without the other. Like, how do you have these really happy, smiley monks, and then at the same time they're called like unrelenting thunder or whatever it was. Yeah. By the way, Iki found a picture of one of those monks, and god damn, he means business.
He was jacked, bro.
I think any skeptics jacked out there about what martial art he might be doing should go check out that photo and then make a judgment call.
I think I'm going to post a meme with him on it, because he was jacked, bro.
Yeah.
I was shocked.
I don't know what I was expecting.
I was expecting, like, Dalai Lama, you know, like, with some sweeps.
Doesn't the Dalai Lama box? Hasn't he boxed Brian Blessing?
Ah, bro, don't do this. Don't do this. Don't do this.
No, no.
No, no, Oli, come on. You see, Oli, it's disrespectful, bro. I don't know.
Bro, I actually think... Nah, bro.
That's preposterous. You think he has, like, a good other hook?
Yeah, I think he's... I think he has. Here we go.
Good job.
Can the...
Here's the question, though. Is he a softball?
Can the Dalai Lama box?
Oh, man, imagine if he actually can move like Mayweather.
This might not be readily available.
Yeah, bro. That's wild, man. But also, like, I think he has a lot of beef with some government, so he wouldn't put that out there like that, so he has to keep it secret. So, like, if it has to happen, they're like, oh no, he can box, you know?
Here you go. This is thetimesofindia.com. The Dalai Lama is considered a messenger of peace worldwide, but the Tibetan spiritual leader is apparently passionate about boxing.
Wow.
Here you go. Actor Brian Blessed on his Hong Kong handover, sparring with the Dalai Lama.
What?
Check it out, bro.
Bro!
Look, he's so happy, man.
Oh, man. That is an interview. The guy goes like, who would you like to have dinner with? It's like, I'm Buddhist monk. Buddhist monk only have 2 meal. Breakfast, lunch. Oh, it's amazing. Bro, on that note, there is something I want to share. It's a poem.
Poetry key.
Yeah, actually a poem that I wrote. Man, you know, like, I've been writing poems for the longest time.
It goes memes, poem, memes, poem.
Yeah.
Don't know whether you're coming or going.
I know, you know. Gotta keep a balance, you know.
Okay, so this poem for Poetry Key, read by Iki, is also written by Iki.
Jeez.
Produced, written, directed.
And inspired by Oli.
This is inspired by me. I have news.
We were just chatting. Remember this? We were chatting. We were texting. Yeah, we're texting back and forth.
Mm.
Let's see if I can find the poem here so that you actually know.
Is it the one about you dancing?
Yeah.
I like that one. That one was cool.
Because I remember we were just talking about this, and you're like, your last message before I shared it with you is like, yeah, man, just enjoy it. And then I sent you a sticker. And right after you sent that message, my mom sent me that picture.
Oh, did you?
Right after she sent me that message.
There's no such thing as coincidence.
And then
the universe wouldn't be that careless.
And then my mind just went straight into, like, King of the Dance Floor. It's like the first thing that I thought.
Nice.
And here it came.
Okay, I'm ready.
I once knew how to enjoy the moment. But the more I grew old... Restart. I once knew how to get it. Ah, jeez, man.
That's okay, man.
Getting goosebumps.
I'm sure we'll cut this bit.
I once knew how to enjoy the moment. But the more I got older, my goals grew bigger. And my heart grows colder. Where is that little boy inside me? That little one who knew my soul. He laughed, he fought, he cried, he danced. He broke an arm, but never his spirit. Wild and dumb, but alive. The king of the dance floor.
Boom!
Ladies and gentlemen, stay safe in these streets. Don't let them catch you sleeping. We catch you all next week. Blah, blah, blah. See ya.
Oos.
Oos.